If you turn to Philippians chapter 3, my subject is the spiritual life of the Apostle Paul. Some observations taken from his letter to the Philippians, majoring on verses 8 to 10. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we see the Apostle Paul sought to emulate Christ in his life and testimony to God's saving grace. And we too, once we know Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, must also emulate Christ. And we can profit much from using Paul's life as an example. Paul exhorts us in verse 17 of chapter 3, "Brethren, be followers together of me." Paul's experience, beliefs, and testimony are in the inspired scripture to help us to strive to follow and attain this Christ-like example for ourselves. We see in this letter to the Philippians that Paul had seven principal wishes, heart's desires. They all have reference to Jesus Christ, his Lord, because Christ had become the center and the circle of his life, in which all the desires of his heart and soul belonged. Paul especially then desired, 1, to be found in Christ, 2, to win Christ, 3, to know Christ, 4, to magnify Christ, 5, to be conformed to Christ, 6, to rejoice in the day of Christ, and 7, to be with Christ in that eternal home. You'd be pleased to know I'm not going to speak on all 7 points. I'm going to take the first 3 tonight. 1, to be found in him, in Christ, Philippians 3, verse 9. Paul glorified in being found in Christ, in him. He knew that he was saved. But it was not always so with Paul. As you know, as Saul of Tarsus, he was an unregenerate man. We are reminded by the Lord in Matthew 13, verse 30, that he that is not with me is against me. So our first challenge tonight is this. Are we fully for the Lord? If not, then the Lord says, we are against him. We see in Philippians 3, verses 4 to 6, Paul's testimony to his past life, but before he met the living Savior on the Damascus Road. He said, "If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He was a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, attempting to keep the law of God, but not the spirit of it. He was very zealous, but his zeal was set against God and his people. As Saul of Tarsus, the proud Pharisee, he was an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. But God, in his sovereign electing love, intervened on that Damascus road, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Saul, Paul, was quickened, given faith and spiritual life. This new birth experience gave him a new heart, one of spiritual awareness to see his sinfulness and the need of repentance and full submission to Christ as Lord. The response of his convicted heart was, as in Acts 9:6, where that event is recorded, "And he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? So Paul continues his testimony in Philippians 3, 7-10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He once was very, very proud, gladly accepting the respect and recognition of his fellow unbelieving Pharisees and the people for the way he lived. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul discarded all these things, treating them as a loss, even as dung, in exchange for forgiveness of sin and acceptance by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in prison in Rome for his belief in the Lord. He had little or no possession. He recognized that being accepted by Christ as a repentant sinner, that he had won a great prize. Indeed, he had the prize of total forgiveness, peace with God, and eternal life. He goes on to say in verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He calls this saving relationship to Christ as being found in him. He had originally strived to be holy, trying to keep God's law, but now saw that his righteousness was as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Do we lay claim to acceptance with God by our good works, bypassing Christ as Saviour? We must beware, because that is an insult to God and not the way of salvation. The moment Paul was converted, he ceased to lay claim to his own righteousness, seeing it as sin, and exchanged the guilt of his sin for the righteousness of Christ. In verse 10, he says, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He saw that great work of Christ on the cross as being that which had saved him, and that is the only way we can be saved. Since that experience of new birth, the driving force of Paul's faith was, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. It was from then on solus Christus, Christ only. Nothing else mattered. Paul wrote earlier in Philippians in chapter 1 verse 2, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was always looking forward to that eternal rest, which we won't cover tonight, but it was his seventh point, to be with the Lord forever. So we would do well to ask ourselves, who am I like? Saul of Tarsus or Paul the Apostle? Am I claiming my own righteousness and thinking that God will accept me? Or will I come like Paul in submission and repentance as he did? Do I have faith? What does my faith consist of? Is it the same faith that Paul had? Am I found in Christ? We must ask ourselves. Has Christ accepted us? Is Christ, his truth and his love, the driving force of my faith? Very serious questions, because if with the wrong answers, we have no hope. We need Christ as our Saviour. The second desire of Paul was to win Christ in verse 8. He recognized that by being accepted by Christ as a repentant sinner, that he had won a great prize. Indeed, he had. Forgiveness of sin was his, peace with God, the gift of faith and of Christ's righteousness. He now had a purposeful life of service to Christ, even though he was in prison for it. And he looked forward to that eternal life in heaven. One can put no value on this prize. Let us consider what Christ did to be in a position to give us this price. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, left the purity of heaven to come to this sinful earth. He came into time as a man, perfect and without sin. He allowed men to hate him and cruelly treat him. He was whipped. He had nails banged through his hands and his feet as they fixed him to that cross. He had a sword thrust in his side. Crucifixion. He humbled himself even to the death of the cruel cross. He shed his precious blood, suffering extreme physical bodily agony. But the agony in his soul was even greater. He felt the separation from his Father as the Father's holy wrath was poured out upon him for the sin of those for whom he died to save. You remember, on the cross he called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His soul was in agony. What a cost. What a cost. Paul fully accepted that Christ had paid this awful price to save him. In his letter to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 15, he called himself the chief of sinners. He knew he had sinned greatly before God. And he fully understood the meaning of the parable of the pearl of great price. In Matthew 13, 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In that parable, the selling of all to purchase this pearl is our turning from our proud, selfish life to the Savior. The prize is given by the gracious kindness of God. It is all of God's goodness and grace. Faith is the gift of God, given us by the Holy Spirit. Paul also desired to know Christ. After Paul's conversion, this desire to know Christ lies at the root of all his spiritual desires. Paul knew that the knowledge of Christ is far more excellent than any other knowledge. Let us pause here for reflection. Do we waste our time searching men's ideas, yet ignoring searching the scriptures for Christ? He's there. He's in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament. If our knowledge of the Lord is non-existent, then we will not enjoy him at all. He remains our judge. We are his enemy. If our knowledge of the Lord is little, then we will only enjoy him a little. In this state, we have only a small appreciation of what he has done. To remain here is an insult to God and his saving grace. May I challenge you, how much do we appreciate what Christ has done to save us? Do we attend all the services we can? Is our desire to be here in the house of the Lord and to be joining in the work? If we're just taking what Christ has done on the cross, then we're in that place of a little knowledge, and we will only enjoy the Lord a little. And it may even be that we have not truly come to know him as our Lord and Savior in the first place. So our knowledge of Christ should be powerful and deep, regulating our thoughts, our desires, our hopes, our fears, our confidence, and our conduct towards God and man, especially towards other believers, and especially to the unsaved around us. We must endeavor to grow in the knowledge of Christ in all its fullness. Paul's desire for the knowledge of Christ, for himself, for the Philippians, and for us, is expressed in the following verses. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, discernment, to be able to approve things which are excellent, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that ye may be sincere and without offense. The growth in knowledge of Christ will enlarge our love to God, to fellow believers, and to lost sinners around us. The more we know Christ and his righteousness, the more discernment we will have. As believers, we are expected to know doctrine, teaching, and its application. We must, as faithful servants of Christ, know truth from error. Can we use our knowledge of the Bible to discern? Do we apply the teaching correctly to our own selves? The Lord gives us two sets of rules to discern what is right and wrong in Scripture. The regulative principle, which are the direct commands from God. And we also have the normative principle. They are the inferred principles which permeate Scripture. Christ charges us with the responsibility of discerning good and evil in Hebrews 5:14. This knowledge would give us the ability to discern and recognize error long before it stares us in the face, by which time it becomes harder and almost too late to deal with it and stop it spreading. So our responsibility is to be discerning and to bring about a right understanding of what is happening according to the Scripture. Paul wrote in Philippians 2 verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." In verse 14, "doing all things without murmurings and disputings." Peace and fellowship in the church will be at its greatest when we have the love of God in our hearts and overflowing throughout all our relationships. This love must show itself in the church, at home, in our family, in our immediate neighborhood, among our friends and acquaintances, and at school or work. The desire for unity in the church should exude from us as we seek to praise God and serve him together. Paul stood for this principle. He did have to point out some faults. He did have to reprimand some people, but he did it in grace and love, with a heart to win them back to the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And we should be teachable ourselves, and we should be able to graciously get alongside others, not to accuse, but just to lovingly encourage them in the way of the Lord. The fourth thing that Paul listed in this list of seven was to be conformed to Christ. Sanctification, set apart, holy. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3:14-16, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things." Paul expresses his determination here to press on, to continue in growth of sanctification. In one sense, he is perfect. His sins are forgiven, and Christ's righteousness is accounted to him. But he also knows that his old nature is active to bring him into sin and spoil his testimony. All believers have this battle, striving to be separate from the world. It's called sanctification. And the more we strive to be with Christ and follow that high calling, to live holy lives, the more we will be attacked by the evil one. But it is a progressive state over the years, that state of desire to improve throughout our life, aspiring to God's holy standard, understanding it in a deeper way, and receiving the blessings of walking with the Lord and knowing his forgiveness when we fail. If we do not have this desire in our souls, then we must question whether we are quickened and saved. A healthy Christian has a desire to seek to be separate from sin and this world, striving for holiness, resisting all temptations, and being set apart for God's service, a high calling, one we all fail in at times but we have the loving care and forgiveness of the Lord to recover us. This desire to be holy and to do those things which are right in the sight of the Lord, this does not save us. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is an evidence that the Lord has saved us and is important to us. It is a fruit of the Spirit, our reasonable service. Our church is a working church. We call people to join us. We need more workers. We need people who can do small things and then grow into doing bigger things. We need your help. We are sometimes stretched, and there are many things to do. James wrote in James 2:17-18, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James is saying, faith without spiritual works is dead. We do not have saving faith if we do not perform the works to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So the works won't save us, but if we claim to have faith, then we must have works to be a testimony to our faith. So, again, we challenge ourselves. We must examine our hearts and ask, what do I do for the Lord? As I said earlier at EDT here, we follow the biblical teaching of the local working church. And our works are witnessing, speaking of the Lord's death on Calvary, talking of the forgiveness of our sin, meeting as often as possible on the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, the Bible study, joining in the work of the church, evangelism, outreach visitation, helping with Sunday school, Bible class, Friday meeting, morning school, becoming members, knowing the Lord and being baptized, those things which are in the Scriptures. The closer we are to Christ, the more we grow in sanctification, more like Christ. We grow to become more like him in exact proportion to our seeing him as he is and what he has done for us. Paul says in verse 15 of our chapter, "If we be otherwise minded, meaning any other attitude, our sinful thoughts and any actions which are contrary to God's law, we must seek the Lord to reveal this to us, to take notice and to turn from it. Do we as believers set out each day praying, Lord, please lead me in thy way. Give me that discernment to spot temptation." Also in verse 15, he says, "As many as be perfect." This speaks again of the righteousness of Christ, which has been given to us when we acknowledge Christ as our Savior, when we accept he died on Calvary for us, taking the guilt of our sin away. Philippians 4:9, Paul wrote, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." If we really and sincerely desire to know Christ, we will search his word, love his law, meditate on his truth, be constantly at his throne in prayer, and speak of him often to others. So are we sincere believers in Christ growing in sanctification? There may be parts of our nature, our old nature, which entangle us and ensnarl us and spoil, but we have to go to the Lord to get those things under control and to get them sanctified. Paul had three other points. He said his desire was to magnify Christ. We know that from the scriptures he's written, his missionary journeys. To rejoice in the day of Christ. We knew, Lord, that even in prison, he rejoiced. He rejoiced in this chapter. And he rejoiced even though he was cruelly treated as Christ was. He counted it nothing because he was serving his Lord. And he looked forward to eternity with the Lord, to be with Christ for all eternity. That's what Christ died for. He died to take us to be with himself. But in the meantime, He died that we should be ones who will testify of him, not only words, which are very important, but by the way we behave, carry ourselves. People notice what we do and how we say things as well as what we say. So let us then know Christ as Savior, as the Apostle Paul did, and emulate Christ as Paul did, and make the Lord the center of all that we do and all that we think. And just remind you of those 7 points that Paul wrote in Philippians 3. To be found in Christ, to win Christ, to know Christ, to magnify Christ, to be conformed to Christ, to rejoice in the day of Christ, to be with Christ for all eternity. Trust you'll find that helpful, and we hope challenging, and that the Lord will bless our souls from considering those thoughts.